In every culture, we have the GOAT, you know, the greatest of all time. In sports, it's the endless Jordan versus LeBron debate. In music, maybe it's the Beatles versus Elvis, or I don't really even know what it would be today. Taylor Swift, maybe, whatever. But if you were a first century Jew, there was no debate. There was only one name at the top of the mountain, and that name was, for the Jew, that name was Moses. Moses was the deliverer, the lawgiver, the man who saw God face to face. To a Jewish person, walking away from Moses wasn't just a religious change, it was a betrayal of their very identity. Today, we're continuing on our series in our study of the book of Hebrews from the New Testament, just for people from an LDS background, because I want to make sure that you study the book of Hebrews and understand how much this relates to Mormonism. Because think about who the GOAT is for you if your history is in the LDS church. I think you know who it is. I think it's obvious to everyone who grew up in Mormonism. Now, maybe a non-Mormon wouldn't be sure if it was Joseph Smith or Brigham Young, but for Mormons, it's pretty clear. Joseph Smith is the GOAT. Doctrine and Covenants 135 says that Joseph Smith has done more, save Jesus only, for the salvation of men in this world than any other man that ever lived in it. So in Mormon culture, Joseph Smith is the lens through which you see everything else. You're told that without him, we'd be in total darkness. So when you start to doubt the LDS church, the fear isn't just about a set of doctrines. It's the terrifying feeling of walking away from the prophet of the restoration, walking away from Joseph Smith. And that's exactly, well, not exactly, but that's similar to the feelings that some of the Jewish Christians might have had when they thought about Moses and the Jewish understanding of the law in the Old Testament. In Hebrews 3, the author is writing to people who were tempted to go back to that way because following Jesus was getting too expensive, both socially and physically, right? They were beginning to experience persecution. And maybe for some of you listening today, you've been coming out of Mormonism and you're starting to pay the price for that, maybe with your family or with your workplace or something like that, or maybe even just in your conscience because Mormonism has its claws in you. And maybe you've been considering going back to Mormonism as well. So if that's your story, I think you should really pay attention to this episode. I think you should actually make sure to read Hebrews chapter 3 because the message in Hebrews chapter 3 is that Jesus is greater than the GOAT, be it Moses for Judaism or be it Joseph Smith for Mormonism. Think about the pressure that these early believers were under. Their families were calling them apostates. They were being kicked out of the synagogues. Life was just easier under the law of Moses. It was structured. It was traditional. And if you're investigating the claims of the LDS church, you know that pressure. You know the awkwardness of the family dinner where you don't offer the prayer. You know the tension at work. You feel the pull to just go back to the house because the house feels safe. And so Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 issues a command. It says, think carefully about this Jesus. Now, the Greek word for think carefully means to observe intensely, to fix your eyes on something so completely that everything else fades into the background. The author is saying basically this, I know Moses is a big deal. I know your tradition is really heavy and there's a draw to come back to it. But the author of Hebrews is saying, I want you to look closer at Jesus. And then he helps to do that in the verses that follow. And he gives a few reasons why Jesus is greater. And the first reason is because he is the ultimate prophet. He is the final prophet. And I want you to hang with me here because I think this really relates to Mormonism because Mormons make such a big deal about the prophet, that Joseph Smith was a prophet, that Brigham Young was a prophet, and that they have this living prophet thing. But for the Jewish believer 2,000 years ago, Moses was the ultimate mouthpiece. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, this is clear. He went up into the cloud on Sinai. He brought back the word of God. He was the mediator. And when God wanted to speak to Israel, he dialed up Moses. In Mormonism, the emphasis on the prophet is probably even stronger than in Judaism, right? You're taught that you can never go astray if you follow the prophet. The prophet is the one who delivers the mail from God to the church today, right? But look at the shift in Hebrews chapter 3. It calls Jesus God's messenger, but there's a twist to this idea because Moses told us what God said, but the author of Hebrews is saying that Jesus is a different kind of messenger. That Jesus didn't just tell us what God said, Jesus showed us who God is. So think about it like this. If a prophet is a mailman, you don't fall in love with the mailman, you read the letter. Jesus is better than a mailman because he is the letter. Jesus isn't just the messenger. He isn't just the mouthpiece. Jesus is the message itself. See, if Jesus is the exact imprint of God's nature, which is what we saw in chapter one of this series, then any modern prophetic word that contradicts or distracts from the finished work of Jesus is actually a step backward into the dark. Friends, if you have the Son standing in front of you, why are you still waiting by the mailbox? Jesus is the message. But he's more than that, because secondly, in Hebrews chapter 3, we see that Jesus is the architect. He's not just the lawgiver. See, Moses gave the structure in the Old Testament. He brought the Ten Commandments. He introduced the Sabbath, which, by the way, was a revolutionary concept that human value isn't tied to production. That's for a whole different series, a whole different topic. But in the LDS world, there's this massive emphasis on structure, the priesthood organization, the covenant path, the handbooks of instruction. It feels like a well-built house. This is, I think, what I hear from Mormons all the time. But when it comes to Judaism, Hebrews says that Moses was a servant in the house and Jesus is the builder of the house. So Moses gave the law to show us how far we fall short, but he just was giving a snapshot, essentially. That's the Ten Commandments. Is a good way to think of the Ten Commandments is just a snapshot of the heart of God. Jesus gave more than a snapshot. Jesus is actually the fulfillment of everything that Moses ever even talked about. In Matthew 22, Jesus boiled the entire law down to two things: love God, love people, which was basically like helping us understand the heart behind the Ten Commandments. So the law was the frame, but Jesus is the portrait. Now relate that to Mormonism. Mormonism spends so much time polishing the frame, the rules, the worthiness interviews, the dietary codes, but they forget to look at the portrait. I think this is what Jewish people could do as well 2,000 years ago and even today. If you miss Jesus, which is what the whole Old Testament law was pointing to, you're missing the whole point. And Mormonism is basically going back to structure and rules and frameworks, but you're missing the whole point of all of it. Mormonism, just like Judaism, Mormonism misses the architect behind all of it. Mormonism misses the point behind all of it, which is Jesus, because Jesus is greater. And that brings us to Hebrews 3 verses 5 and 6. It's kind of like the heart of the passage as far as I'm concerned. It says, Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant, but Christ as the Son is in charge of God's entire house. See, in the ancient world, a head servant might have a lot of power. He might run the estate. He probably would manage the money. He would give orders to the other servants. But at the end of the day, he's still just an employee. He doesn't own the house. And here's what the author of Hebrews is trying to get across. The point he's getting across here is that Jesus isn't just a servant like Moses was. Jesus is the Son. And as the Son, he owns the house. Now, in Mormonism, Joseph Smith, by his own admission in his early writings, he was a servant. But the LDS church has elevated the servant to a level that rivals the Son, right? The LDS church, even though they would say, well, look, we have Jesus Christ right in our name, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But yet, if you would ask a Mormon, how much do you actually talk about Jesus week to week? They would say, not very much at all. They talk about Joseph Smith all the time. In other words, they talk about the servant all the time, but they never actually talk about the Son. So the LDS church has elevated the servant to a level that rivals the Son. And when you have to testify of the prophet to be considered active, you're focusing on the servant in the house instead of on Jesus himself, the Son who owns the house. And Hebrews is telling us the house has an owner whose name is Jesus. And then it goes on further. The Bible goes on further to say that we are God's house. It turns out that the house that they're talking about isn't a building in Salt Lake City. It's not an organization with a tax ID number. It's not a temple or a ward or any kind of religious institution. The house is the people of God who remain confident in their hope in Christ. Now, I want you to think about that. As a Mormon, for those who are in Mormonism or who have come out of Mormonism, as a Mormon, did you put your confidence in Jesus or did you put your confidence in Joseph? Did you recognize that the people of God are the house, not the actual organization itself, not the institution itself? I think this is what the author of Hebrews is trying to drive at. Now, I can hear the pushback. Some of you are going to say, well, wait a second. Amos 3:7 says that God will do nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets, right? This is a verse that Mormons love to use. So a Mormon would say something like, we need someone to guide us through modern challenges that the Bible doesn't mention. And I know that that sounds logical, but notice what Hebrews 3 is doing. It isn't saying that we don't need guidance. It's saying that the quality of the guidance we have in Jesus is so far superior to the prophets that looking back to a human mouthpiece is actually a sign of unbelief. See, if you have the author of the book sitting next to you, do you really need someone to interpret the secrets for you? In fact, Jesus himself said it like this in John 5, verse 46. He said, if you really believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. In other words, Jesus said, Moses' whole job, and really every true prophet's job, by the way, is to point away from themselves and toward Jesus. So if a prophet, I want you to hear this, if a prophet spends more time pointing to the church or to the priesthood or to the covenant path or to themselves than they do to the finished, sufficient work of Jesus, then they're actually not acting like Moses at all, because Moses was just simply pointing people to Jesus. And Mormon prophets don't actually point people to Jesus. Mormon prophets point people to other things. And so they're acting like a servant who's trying to take over the master's job. They're trying to take over ownership of the master's house. But Jesus is the true and rightful owner. Think about a snapshot of a beautiful mountain range. I love mountains. I live in Utah, the beautiful mountains of Utah. I mean, that snapshot would be a great photo. You can see the peaks, you can see the snow, you can see the trees. It's a good representation, but it's not the actual mountain. Moses gave us a snapshot. Joseph Smith claimed to give us a restored snapshot, by the way. But Jesus is the mountain. Jesus is the real thing, not just a picture. So when you stand on the peak of a mountain, you don't spend your time staring at the photo in your pocket. You look at the view. And the imagery in Hebrews 3 is about courage. It says, if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ, it takes courage to stop looking at the snapshot. It takes courage to say, I don't need the validation of a human organization or a modern prophet because I have Jesus. My message to those who are still at least a little bit kind of connected and hooked into Mormonism, my message is really simple. I always tell Mormons this who come to my church, just start studying Jesus. Just start getting to know Jesus. Really Jesus, not prophets, not precepts, not principles of Mormonism, but the person of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. If you've been leaning on the restoration of the prophet or the priesthood for your security, you're leaning on the servants. And the servants should be pointing to the GOAT. The pressure to go back to the old life is real. The fear of being wrong is real. But Hebrews 3 tells us that Jesus is greater than Moses. He's greater than Joseph Smith. He's greater than any religious system that we can build. He is the Word, while these other systems are just an echo. He is the Builder, while anyone else would just simply be a laborer. He is the Son, and anyone else, any other servant of God or purported servant of God is just, they're just the staff. They're just the paid staff. Jesus is the Son. And so let me just finish this episode with the words from Hebrews 3, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus. Go ahead and read Hebrews chapter 3 for yourself and see what the Bible says about him.